Say that again for my tape recorder.
Oh, you're kidding. April 26, 1930, I came to America. That makes it 48 years ago.
Yeah.
And I came to visit a brother I never knew.
That's interesting.
How do you like that? Now, what else do you want to know, honey?
You can say where you came from?
Yes, I came from Manchester, England. Right. With a family. I was raised with a family of, there was 12 of us. I don't remember two, but I actually had 9 brothers and 5 sisters, if that'll help any.
Sure. That's interesting.
And raised with 12 of us. I was the 12th. But there's only, let's see, there's one brother in California, there's one in England, there's one sister in England, there's one sister here, and me, and myself, pardon me.
Yeah.
Outside of that, my oldest sister, God bless her, is in England still, in the old homestead. At the beautiful age of 88, young.
That's nice.
And she has prepared all the Passover traditional dishes. And I'm happy to say she sent me some spending money for the holidays.
Wow.
Oh, is this going on here?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Okay, we can turn it off.
No. I went to California. I went back and forth to England a couple of times. But I still came back. And I met a very nice man in 1936. You give me the right guy. I'd have to stay here 5 days if he wants my history. Today I'm celebrating Cole's birthday. He's 9.
Oh, how nice.
And yesterday was 48 years that I came to this country.
Out
of a family of 14 kids. Oh, we had fun those days.
Speaking of kids, where's Seal? I got a beautiful
girl. She'll be here. She's
and
coming.
And where's Ray?
She's coming.
Good. I got a beautiful program.
Yes, I know. Why do you think
I'm having a heart attack.
Don't have a heart attack, honey, because I don't want to give you mouth-to-mouth recitation.
I work so hard getting these decent programs.
Okay, now, your family had always lived in England?
No. They came over from the old country, Russia. I don't know. I know my, I was born in England. One oldest brother and one sister was born in the old country that I know. They've gone, they've passed on.
Right.
And, if you want a little sense of humor.
Sure.
We had a big family because we had wall-to-wall woodwork. There was no such thing as wall-to-wall carpeting those days. And my father was a good old-fashioned cabinet maker. Not a carpenter, but a cabinet maker. And after going back and forth and here and there, I decided that Utica was what I wanted. I got married in 1936. Three nice children, all married, all got a college education. Do you want to know where?
Yeah, go
all
ahead.
All right. The oldest one, Morris David, he graduated at the University of Buffalo. And he's an accountant. Phyllis graduated here at the Mohawk Valley Tech. Do you know Utica?
A little bit. I'm
right?
getting to know it.
And she lives in Colmack, Long Island. And she's happily married to a nice man who's a case, is with the school system. Two nice children. The oldest one's got two nice children. And Michael, the youngest, he graduated from the University of Denver, Colorado. And he is the manager of the Convention Bureau in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
And then, as I say, when my husband died, well, I don't want to know what you want to sound.
Oh, well, I can turn the tape off.
Turn it off.
Sure.
The grandest experience I had was last August when I went to Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado Springs, Pikes Peak. It was the most beautiful month that I had ever experienced. And going on a DC-10 with 385 passengers.
Wow.
I don't know if this is boring to you.
No, it's interesting.
See? And then I came back. And I got myself ready, went to Florida for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Just got back 3 weeks ago.
Great.
But this, as long as we're talking, in order to get those three kids through college, my husband was a produce manager in one of the supermarkets at those days.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be, you remember at that time, Art Linkletter used to have a group of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to say, well, what did your father do?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
one
I
was a truck
that.
Driver, so on. Well, I'm pretending that, I'm not pretending, I'm not even paying attention to this.
Okay.
And I looked at my three nice children who are 5 years apart. And I thought, this is not going to be for me. So I opened up a kosher delicatessen store, which was called Rosenthal's Kosher Delicatessen, on a shoestring. The bank helped me. Are you from New York? I'm asking you.
I'm actually from New Jersey.
Oh, well, I used to get the good meats from Revington Street, Bernstein, and the smoked fish from Regal Park. And there was two other kosher delicatessens in Utica at the time. This was going back 29 years ago. So it's really going back.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I was in there, the first Passover for business, believe it or not, we did so good. They all wanted to give us, Bell and Harry, a chance because we had three kids.
Oh.
And those kids, like you, worked in the store and helped. And that's how they got through college. And well, we retired 7 years. 7 years ago, we retired. And 6 years ago, the incident happened.
Right.
And they said, why don't you come to the center? I came to the center one day, and I looked around and I saw. I wasn't ready. I said, no, I'm not ready for this. I went home. I said, I'll try it again. I'm not ready for this. And you know, after the third time I missed it, that I believe it or not, I came back.
Sure, it's a wonderful place here.
And I came back, but if I stand up and start to walk, you wouldn't believe it because and so I have been able to come for a couple of weeks, but I know there's nice entertainment and there's a ride available, and here I am.
Great.
So
that's
as
great.
I say, the children, one is in, it's Williamsville, it's a suburb of Buffalo, and one is in Commack, Long Island, and one is in Denver, and they call me every week.
That's great. That's great.
And that's, I came over here, I'm not telling you just the date, how old I was when I came here, because it's being taped. But if you want to shut it off first,
sure.
I went to Denver, Colorado, where I lived for 3 years. And he went right into the hotel field, but he wanted to be where the real McCoy was. In the, what did I say?
Delhi?
No. Conventions.
Oh,
he's in the he's the manager of the Convention Bureau. You see, we went into this hotel at $125 a night.
Wow.
Well, I get professional courtesy wherever I go with Michael.
Uh-huh.
Like when he was working in the hotel in the Waldorf Astoria,
uh-huh.
we stayed at the Towers, no charge.
Yeah.
Professional courtesy.
Uh-huh.
Like
uh-huh.
So it's a nice view. Cool. And you see Peaks Pike.
Oh, yeah.
So now, go ahead.
Okay. So, and then there's a graduate program in Cooperstown. You know where they have all the museums, the Farmers Museum.
Sure,
okay.
Yeah.
Right in there, there's a little school for 30, there's 30 students who are going to get their master's degrees, either in American Studies or Museum Studies. And I'm in the American Studies program.
Could I don't, is that on? Is that on now?
Yeah, but I can turn it off.
No. I'll tell you what happened. When my son got out of high school, he was an 89. No, when he was in high. Why, hello. I'm doing fine, but don't ask me to walk.
I understand you're
a sore touch. And a burnt leg. And sure. This is where the arthritis is, and a pinched nerve. I asked this gentleman, don't ask me to get up and walk. But outside of that, I'm wonderful. Okay, Bernie. He was a very good student, but he didn't put it to use. He loved the tennis courts. When he graduated high school, he graduated with a 67 average. We went to college night, and I'll never forget his principal at UFA. Telling me to get your son into the army, and I said, nothing doing. He's got the ability. So we applied here to the Mohawk Valley Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And when they saw his report card, 67 average.
Yeah.
So tell me, what was the ability? Well, him and his buddy made and formed a tennis team. By that, he got into there.
Oh.
And with encouragement of one of his aunts and said, every time you make Dean's List, you're going to get $100. He made it six times, and each time he made it, he got the $100. He took a bus into Buffalo, New York, and he wanted an interview.
Uh-huh.
What do they call... the papers that you get out of your...
A transcript?
They had the transcript from UFA, which was 67 average.
Uh-huh.
And the transcript with 16's List was at the bottom.
So they
wanted to know, how did he have the nerve to come? But the Dean of Students at Mohawk Valley Tech always used to use Morris David Rosenthal as an example. That you could be a 67 average, but if you want to get through college, you can. And don't you think he made Dean's List at the University of Buffalo?
Wow, that's tremendous.
He got to be a resident advisor.
Uh-huh. That's great.
And that's is encouraged for you young students there.
Uh-huh.
That I want, if you want to play tennis, okay. But he used to burn the midnight oil. Now, when all the kids would go to a football game on a weekend, my son didn't go. But one night, he got it. Everybody went to a football game for the weekend. He stayed not home, in his room.
Right.
And everybody was happy because if it's on a curve, everybody automatically passes, right?
Right, yeah.
See what I learned?
Oh.
But Morris Rosenthal had studied for 2 nights and 3 days while they were all away.
Right.
Chewing on cookies what mom sent or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he got an 85.
Oh.
And he got help.
Sure.
He was a resident advisor at the time, And the next morning, do you know what some of the people had smeared on the doors? The swastika. Because you see, he had worked. He was entitled to the 85, but he spoiled it for how many students that take an exam? But he wanted to do what he wanted to do his thing.
Sure, yeah, sure.
So now wait, where does this, do you help them? Do you help them get through, or you help them, you encourage them?
You mean what? Other students?
The other students.
Well, we're all students. I'm a student myself. Right. And then this is, it's kind of a professional program. So at the end of, I have another year after this one, and they send us out, our teachers give us projects to do. A lot like the kind of projects we would be doing if we were doing this work professionally. So then, for example, my interests are in photography and writing.
Yeah, my interest is photography.
You like photography?
Oh my God, I got a movie camera ever since I was 12.
Really?
You know what I've still got home? You know the little Brock's brownies that you got for $2.50?
Yeah, sure.
When my son was born, he's going to be 40 in August.
Uh-huh.
Those days, if you got $2 for a gift when a child was born, was a lot of money.
Yeah, sure.
So I bought a brownie.
Huh, that's great.
Now I've got one of those snippers, and I got a... what do you call it? A movie camera, a 8mm Cine Kodak.
Oh.
I haven't used this. We've got some wonderful films.
Huh.
I'll tell you, we got a film there when Governor Rockville at the time, he came to Buffalo University. It's a state university.
Uh-huh.
Now, in 61,
right.
It turned state. After 60, my son graduated in 61.
Uh-huh.
After 61, it turned to a state university, but
right.
Before it was private.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
But, well, that's all on account of Art Linkletter.
Huh.
And when you get three kids through college on a shoestring,
yeah.
But the kids have got to work with you.
Hmm. Sure.
See, he used to have a next door people like in the rooms, two boys.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have the stereos. They'd have the liquor bars.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, their fathers had graduated, and they got in on the goodwill.
Mm.
My kid got in, not because his father went to college,
mm-hmm.
not because his mother went to college, not because his aunts or his uncles went to college. He got in on his own merits. Is that what you call it here
sure,
in this country?
Merits. Yeah, yeah. Huh.
I know that if you got a son and you graduated from Harvard or Yale, your son's got first choice, or your daughter, or your son.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure, right. That's
my kids got
do.
In on their own.
Huh.
And they got in on the goodwill.
Mm.
My kid got in, not because his father went to college,
mm-hmm.
not because his mother went to college, not because his aunts or his uncles went to college. He got in on his own merits. Is that what you call it here
sure,
in this country?
Merits. Yeah. Huh.
I know that if you got a son and you graduated from Harvard or Yale, your son's got first choice, or your daughter, or your son.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure, right. That's
my kids got
do.
In on their own.
Huh. That's great. That's really great. How about, I'm interested in, like, people's names. Like, I know for my family, my grandfather always told a story about how his father had to escape from Russia and had to change his name to do that. So they were never certain what their name was.
My father told us as we were children that he didn't want to go into the Russian army.
Uh-huh.
So he ran away when he was 17, 18 years old.
Huh.
He always tells us that story. He's been gone. He's been gone 42 years. So, may his soul rest in peace.
Yeah.
And then he met my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Morris and Miriam. They made a good team. And how do we come? My maiden name was Baker. When they were crossing the border, I don't know. They couldn't understand English. I don't know what, I could never understand how we ever got our maiden name as Baker.
Yeah, certainly not a Jewish name.
No, B-A-K-E-R, but
he didn't say how that name came about?
He said something in Hebrew, and the official says to him, "All right, Mr. Baker, go through." And that was left like that, B-A-K-E-R. And the joke is, whenever they'd call the names, I was always one of the first, A.B.
Right.
Now that I'm Rosenthal, I have to wait till the end. But I always use my middle initial.
Oh.
Val B.
I see.
I never dropped that.
Huh. So was the name change when they came over to this country or when they came to England?
My parents never emigrated to
England.
My parents emigrated to England.
I see.
And that was when they got to the border in England.
Uh-huh.
All the customs, I wouldn't know.
Right, right.
And it was left Baker.
I see.
And my father had two brothers who had cabinet maker factories. No, they had the cabinet maker factories.
Huh.
And they also gave the same name.
Hmm.
And they also interpreted it as Baker.
Huh, interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, then after my father came to England, looked around, he sent for my mother,
mm-hmm.
who was with child and had another one.
Hmm.
So you see, I don't know whether he went back again to get, there was no fighting or anything, but he didn't want to go in the Russian army.
Yeah.
He was 16, 17 years old, young boy.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. You can ask
go ahead with the story.
This is strange. My father's people emigrated to England, all of them.
Hmm.
My mother's people all came to Utica, New York.
Wow. Huh.
That was... two sisters and two brothers.
Uh-huh.
And the name was Thunberg. Now I'm going to tell you something. I've told my kids the same thing that my mother once told me. If you ever look in a phone book and you find S-U-M-B-E-R-G, Thunberg,
mm-hmm.
always call up and say hello and tell them you're a Thunberg. My mother was a Thunberg.
Uh-huh.
We said, we'll do. So I told my children, anytime you're in a big city, if you see the name Thunberg, Rosenthal's, there's a lot of them, God bless them, but Thunberg is a different name. I went to Florida. Is this on?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right, doesn't matter.
Okay.
I went to Florida, Miami Beach. Now, the phone book is about that thick, I don't have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two Thunbergs. One was John,
mm-hmm.
and one was Mike. One was, John was the attorney,
uh-huh.
and Mike was in the stocks and bonds.
Uh-huh.
Two Thunbergs. So I thought to myself, well, your mother's been gone a long time, but listen to her. She said, always look up. So I dialed this John.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you had to go through his secretary, through his office. And I said, well, I'm from Utica, upstate New York, and I just want to know, young man, as long as your name is Thunberg, do you have any family? I know there's a Mike Thunberg, and my mother was a Thunberg. He said, that Mike is my father, and he is originally from Utica, New York.
Wow.
We chatted.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know who this young man was. Wait, Then he told me. He said, that's my father. I get on the phone, and through channels, secretary, receptionist, mm-hmm. who is this? I said, well, I think I'm a relative of this Mike. What was your name? And I told him my maiden name, right. Bill Rosenthal.
Right.
He gets on the phone. His father and I were first cousins.
Oh, boy. That's something.
And his real name is Merwin Sundberg. Huh. But for business purposes, yeah. was Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And we visited, and he said, gee, he said, you know, I'd love to visit with you, but I'm so busy here.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, I couldn't figure out, we were there a couple of weeks, but I couldn't figure out why I hadn't heard from him. His mother mm-hmm. had died right there, and that was the end of that visit.
Yeah.
So you see, of all the names in the phone book.
Hmm. That's really interesting. So that Sundberg was the same?
This
was never changed?
Never changed. That was the real Sundberg.
Huh.
It was the Sundberg. In fact, when I came to this country in 1930, of course it was depression here, but I had money. To me, I didn't know what depression was.
Right.
But I could still, to this day, I cannot figure out. When they say people lost everything, why did they lose it it was all on paper. Well, if it was on paper, they'd never lost anything because it wasn't theirs.
Right.
Now, all right, if you got $5 in your wallet now,
uh-huh.
that's yours, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how could you lose it if...
If it was just written down somewhere that you had...
They lost homes.
Yeah.
I found out later on. Yeah. That homes were never paid for, it was mortgaged, and you couldn't pay your mortgage, so you lost it.
Yeah.
But why did you lose your home if it was your own?
Hmm.
All those things at my age, 24, didn't register.
Right.
I could never figure out why you could go into a store and buy a refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
buy a stove. Everything was on so much a week.
Oh,
so much a month.
Yeah.
We never lived like that.
Hmm.
This is all strange. This was all so strange to me. You could get anything in this country. As we say, a dollar down and a dollar when you get me. Right?
Uh-huh.
You could get anything.
Huh.
But I don't believe in living like that.
Yeah.
And this is the whole problem with the young people of today.
Uh-huh.
It's, we're going to get it. They go away to school, they get a hi-fi. They're going to buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
They buy it on time.
Sure.
It's a time payment.
Hmm.
If that'll help in your...
Yeah, sure. All this stuff is real helpful. It's good. Well, now, another thing I'm interested in, we're going to do a project on the kinds of foods that people eat. And so it interests me that you ran a delicatessen for a long time.
I'll tell you a good one. This is very good. When I was admitted in Florida to Mount Sinai Hospital, before I was admitted, the doctor asked me what kind of food I ate. Now, how would you answer that question? Okay.
How would I answer?
Yes. What kind of food do you eat?
Yeah, well, I eat, you know, pretty much what everyone else eats, right?
Well, I didn't know what to say.
Oh.
So I said, kosher.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know. I didn't understand. I'm Jewish. He wanted to know what kind of food I ate.
Uh-huh.
I like kosher food.
Yeah.
And he said, all right.
Uh-huh.
Well, Thursday night, he gave me a little something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But the most wonderful experience that I had was Friday night when they brought me my tray.
Mm.
It was roast turkey
uh-huh.
with dressing,
uh-huh.
sweet potatoes, peas and carrots, a small bottle of wine, challah, and a big slice of sponge cake.
Uh-huh. boy.
This was the Sabbath, and I was being treated accordingly. With that, the two Jewish doctors walked in, and they said, I see you got what you wanted. I said, doctors, I didn't ask for this. They asked me what kind of food. Now I said, as long as you are both Jewish, and here's the wine, you want to make kiddush for me? Now you know what that is, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Now
yeah.
That was an experience.
Uh-huh.
So anytime anybody asks you what food you eat, and if you're of the faith, don't be ashamed to admit it, because you never know what you're going to get. I still brought the bottle of wine home.
That's wonderful.
And of course, as far as the kosher delicatessen is concerned,
uh-huh.
21 years, we had the best.
Mm.
There's not a person in Utica that I never brought sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a doctor, he got the sandwiches. I went to the hospital, the nurses got sandwiches. It was always giving and helping people.
Mm, that's nice. That's really great.
But we did have, it was strictly kosher.
Uh-huh.
In fact, if you want to know how kosher it was, if a customer bought a beef tongue from us and took it home and cooked it, they brought it back to us to slice, we wouldn't do it. Ask me why? I used to say to them, I'm sorry, if you would have let me cook it, I would have cut it. But I have a kosher delicatessen, and I don't know if you'll keep a kosher home and if your pot was kosher.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure.
And they never, and I lost customers like that, but I didn't care, because they knew I was sincere. The only problem we had, you see, the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And the seventh day is a day of rest.
Mm.
But it didn't say which day, did it?
No.
So I took Monday, because Saturday and Sunday was our
busy days.
Busy
days, yeah.
Does the Bible specify what was the seventh day?
No, there's no way of knowing. Just numbers.
The good Lord can't tell you.
Yeah.
Because eyes and ears and teeth and mouth, but they hear not and see not and speak not. So when I used to say, well, 6 days shalt thou labor, but we don't know what day really. So we took the seventh day, we took it on a Monday. That was our day off. That was when we closed.
Boy, that's...
And I used to make... What was it that you asked me? Are we on now?
Yeah, now
what
we're
was
on.
It you asked me something about?
I had asked you about like folk tales and fairy tales.
Yes, the folk tale. Would this be a folk tale or a fairy tale?
Right.
It was when my father and mother would go to the big open market on a Saturday night after my father had made Afdala. Now you know what that is. Well, this is good. There'll be a lot of Jewish children listening to that. That means that a prayer after the Sabbath is out. But he was enough, because we were Orthodox people. And he wouldn't do it until the Sabbath was out.
Right.
Now, we kids all stayed around. My older sister stayed with us. And then he'd bring these maybe 5-6 pounds of bulk candy. And he'd make them into these particular bags and fill them up, and that was our treat.
That's it?
Yeah. Open fireplace. We didn't have central heat.
Right.
You'd go to bed with a, well, this was it. You'd have the old-fashioned feather quilts, you know? Now, there was something else that we were talking about. No, then you took the picture. What we were talking about, you asked
Oh, me. I asked about the kosher butcher, the shochet, and...
Yes, there used to be a shochet. There was the mill, Cantonetland.
Right.
But he, I don't think he does, I think he still works at it. But there's nothing here now, there's not even a kosher meat market. We have to get our meat from Syracuse. But if you want, this is what I was going to say, but if you want something very pleasant, if we're talking about the delicatessen store, next door to us was the mikveh. You know what the mikveh is?
The bath.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they used to leave the key with us. So whoever came in, like, say, from Rome, from Herkimer, they used to know, they go by Rosenthal's, Kosher Delicatessen, we had the key. When they got through, they'd bring the key back. So we knew that there were a few very religious people.
Something. That would be something good to explain, because, like, I know a little bit about the mikveh, but a lot of my friends don't know too much about it. Maybe you could explain.
Well, what I think is that many... See, I went to it when I was married.
Right.
My father and mother-in-law told me what I had to, where I had to go. Mm-hmm. And I went. But what I think was that it's just the idea of cleansing. I don't think they have the baths like they had years ago. Do you know what they used to have for a bathtub years ago? It was a wooden bathtub. Some people didn't even have a bathtub. So this is my way of thinking, that in order to be pure and clean, you know, I don't want to say, shut it up.
Yeah, sure. Time.
This is better.
Yeah,
this is
now.
Why they have the mikveh. And they are building a new synagogue in Utica, an Orthodox synagogue. And believe it or not, they are having a mikveh. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
That is going to be.
That's really interesting.
It's going to be. In fact, they were having a hard time whether it was going to go through or not, because the home on Pleasant Street was a historical site. And they finally just pulled the house down. And adjoining the new synagogue, they are going to have a mikveh.
Oh, boy.
Because tradition is tradition, and that's going still on. Because there are people.
That's great. That's really great.
Now here, Monday, I went to two funerals. My two nephews' father-in-laws both died during Passover. Friday and Saturday. So one funeral was at 10. This was with the Orthodox. He went into the funeral parlor. There was a table with skull caps and headgear for the ladies. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon at Temple Bethel, which was conservative, there was the other funeral. But there wasn't what see, there's it. There's...
Yeah.
You see, one was conservative, so they had those things. But there still was the yarmulkes for the men, but there was no...
Head cover
for the ladies.
For the ladies.
But you see, this is all... It's... I can't explain it, but if you have any belief at all now, even myself, you come in my house now, I'm one person, I keep the kosher place up. And this is the first Passover that I've been home in 6 years. I usually have gone to my daughter, once to my son, last year in Florida, but this year I made my mind up. Came back from Florida 3 weeks ago, and Belle, get back and do your thing. And as I say, we had the girl. I had the girls over last night. The old-fashioned place of key. And I'm telling you something. I wish that I could take you home to my house to have a nice piece of sponge cake. And want to go over, but I'll miss. I'd love to go with you, but
you
what missed, time
missed
is it
the program.
Now? I'll miss the program. How long are you gonna stay?
Well, I caught a ride up with a friend, and she's going to come by at 3 o'clock pick me up. But I'll tell you what, Mrs. Rosenthal, I get up here a lot, so I can come and visit at your house sometime. That would be...
Gee, that would be nice.
Yeah, sure, I'd like to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be here to the to watch the entertainment?
Yeah, I'm going
to
stay for
the
program.
What else do you want to know?
Well, how about more recipes? Did you have, like, favorite recipes? Or
I'll give you any. Oh, I got a piece of... I got a piece of recipe, a brownie recipe. The old sponge cake. You know what I used to do with my sponge cake recipe in the store? All right, we're reminiscing now.
Yeah.
so that people wouldn't bother me too much when I was waiting on customers and I was using the cutter and it shot.
Right.
I take the recipe, I take it on the showcase, and Bell's sponge cake recipe.
Hmm.
And everybody would be standing there with a pencil and paper and writing it down. There's recipes I could give, but I lost my recipes and I used from my head. But for Passover, I got the most delicious brownie recipe. And if you let me know when you're coming over with your girlfriend, in fact, my sister-in-law is going to pick me up about 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And take me to her house.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to have dinner with them tonight.
Oh, nice.
So I made an old-fashioned from matzi, a matzi pudding, which has apples and raisins and eggs and shortening and cinnamon and sugar. And I want to tell you something. Don't let anybody tell you that you're full of bloat or full of fluid. When you get through eating that stuff, you're full of fat.
That's a kugel.
That's a matzo kugel.
Matzo kugel.
Yeah, but there's other recipes that I have. It's mandel strip and ragalach. I used to sell them.
Oh, boy.
See, sell them and get the spending money for my boys and girls.
Oh.
But not so much my daughter, because she was here. Uh-huh. But I had to get, you know, when the boys started going out with the girls, they needed a little extra spending.
Yeah, sure. Well, do you think, could I come over and you could show me how to make one of those recipes? That would be really interesting to me.
You mean Pesach one?
Any favorite recipe, any recipe you like, the kugel one sounded good, or the sponge cake, any one of those would be really...
If I had to start, you mean taking it all out and make, you want to see me working at it?
And I could help you. You didn't know, but I used to be a, before I...
Chef.
In between going to school, I was a cook and then I was a baker for a while. So I could help you out. I mean, I wouldn't expect you to do all the work, but you could show me.
I'll tell you. If I had some loans, I don't have any because I used the last batch because I got a batch... quite a few to give to my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Brownies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, are they ever good.
And the brownies for Pesach?
The Pesach ones, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, how about this? You tell me what you want me to bring, and I can go...
The only thing that I want you to bring for me, I've got the cocoa and I got the shortening, but bring me... They come in bulk. I don't want them with the shells.
Right.
I want them
shelled.
Walnuts.
Shelled walnuts. Okay.
Right.
And you want pieces or whole?
What do they come in? Is it a pound box?
Yeah, I get a pound tin. Sure.
And then you could take them home with you.
Okay. Okay.
And it does. I'll tell you. I've got to make something that won't take me too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this way, you can. Are you going to take a picture of the brownies too?
Oh yeah, sure.
Brownies, that would be a good idea. Cherries are not Pesach-tick.
I don't think so.
No, you get the brownies.
Uh-huh.
When do you want to come over?
Well, when would be good for you? I can come up anytime.
Well, I'll tell you. You can come up anytime. How about, what is it, Wednesday today?
Yeah.
It's tomorrow's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work on Saturday.
Right.
Friday's Yontif.
Friday's Yontif,
yes. Yisker. Yisker.
Yisker.
Yisker. You got parents?
Yeah.
Thank God. No, Friday's
sure.
Yisker.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'll tell you what to do. How about coming over tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Can you make it tomorrow?
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
All right. How about noon?
1 o'clock, yeah.
And I'll save some of the strawberries and is that Doris? I don't know. I don't even know yarn. I'm letting you come in my house. Or if they let you in here. So about 12 o'clock noon?
Well, how about like 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock,
would be
1 o'clock, yeah.
For me.
Pardon me, I gotta ask you something.